Good evening, and a warm word of welcome once again to 6 Mile Cross Free Presbyterian Church and to our weekly Bible study. It is a joy that you're joining with us once again, and I do pray that the Lord will bless you wherever you are, that the Lord will even encourage you and speak to you through his precious word this evening. Just let me give a couple of announcements at this time. God willing, this Friday and Sunday will be our special and our annual harvest services in the church here, and we do extend to you, if you're in the area, a very warm welcome to come along to our services, to be part of them, and even as we give thanks to the Lord for his goodness and his provision to us once again another year. The service on Friday evening is at 8 p.m. and the special preacher is the Reverend Ian Kenny. And then the service is on Sunday as the harvest weekend continues. Sunday morning, 11:30, will be our new moderator, the Reverend John Armstrong. He'll be along to preach, and then in the evening time at 7 p.m, the Reverend Timothy Nelson, the minister of Ballinahinch. And we do, as I said, extend to you a warm word of welcome. If you're not in the area, we do encourage you to even tune into the services as they will be broadcast on both YouTube and Facebook. Now we're turning to this evening in God's word to the book of Exodus and to the chapter 19. The book of Exodus and the chapter 19. We're going to take the time just to read the opening 20 verses of the chapter together. We have been over these last number of weeks considering mountaintop experiences, and we come to another one this evening. Exodus chapter 19, the verse 1 of the chapter says, "In the third month, when the children of Israel were gone forth out of the land of Egypt, the same day came they into the wilderness of Sinai. For they were departed from Rephidim, and were come to the desert of Sinai, and had pitched in the wilderness, and there Israel camped before the mount. And Moses went up unto God, and the Lord called unto him out of the mountain, saying, Thus shalt thou say to the house of Jacob, and tell the children of Israel, Ye have seen what I did unto the Egyptians, and how I bare you on eagles' wings, and brought you unto myself. Now therefore, if ye will obey my voice indeed and keep my covenant, then ye shall be a peculiar treasure unto me above all people, for all the earth is mine. And ye shall be unto me a kingdom of priests and a holy nation. These are the words which thou shalt speak unto the children of Israel. And Moses came and called for the elders of the people, and laid before their faces all these words which the Lord commanded him. And all the people answered together and said, All that the Lord has spoken we will do. And Moses returned the words of the people unto the Lord. And the Lord said unto Moses, Lo, I come unto thee in a thick cloud, that the people may hear when I speak with thee, and believe thee for ever. And Moses told the words of the people unto the Lord. And the Lord said unto Moses, Go unto the people, and sanctify them today and tomorrow, and let them wash their clothes, and be ready against the third day. For the third day the Lord will come down in the sight of all the people upon Mount Sinai. And thou shalt set bounds unto the people round about, saying, Take heed to yourselves that ye go not up into the mount, or touch the border of it. Whosoever toucheth the mount shall surely be put to death. There shall not an hand touch it, but he shall surely be stoned or shot through. Whether it be beast or man, it shall not live. When the trumpet soundeth long, they shall come up to the mount. And Moses went down from the mount unto the people, and sanctified the people, and they washed their clothes. And he said unto the people, Be ready against the third day. Come not at your wives. And it came to pass on the third day in the morning that there were thunders and lightnings, and a thick cloud upon the mount, and the voice of the trumpet exceeding loud, so that all the people that was in the camp trembled. Moses brought forth the people out of the camp to meet with God, and they stood at the nether part of the mount. And Mount Sinai was altogether on a smoke, because the Lord descended upon it in fire, and the smoke thereof ascended as the smoke of a furnace, and the whole mount quaked greatly. And when the voice of the trumpet sounded long, and waxed louder and louder, Moses spake, and God answered him by a voice. And the Lord came down upon Mount Sinai, on the top of the mount, And the Lord called Moses up to the mount, and Moses went up. Amen. And may God bless once again the reading of his precious and his infallible word. Another mountaintop experience, we're coming to one this evening, which we're going to spend a couple of weeks on. It is Mount Sinai, the revelation experience. Mount Sinai, the revelation experience. Let's have a moment's prayer as we look to the Lord for his help and for his blessing. Heavenly Father, we just come to thee at this time. And O God, how thankful we are for the words we've just read. And even, O God, how thou didst come and even meet with thy people. Lord, it is our prayer that thou wilt come and meet with us this evening, that wherever the hearers of thy word are tonight, that thou wilt meet them, that thou wilt meet with them. And, O God, that thou wilt meet them at the very point of their need. Glorify thy Son even through the spoken word this evening. Glorify thy Son, we pray thee. Encourage the people. Work in hearts. Save the lost. Encourage the backslider even to come back to thee once again. O God, in these days we pray that thou wilt bless, that thou wilt move. In Jesus' name. Amen. Exodus chapter 5. Moses and Aaron go in before Pharaoh for the first time. And they go in with that declaration, that command even from the Lord. Thus saith the Lord, let my people go. And Pharaoh's response in Exodus 5 and the verse 2 began with the question, who is the Lord that I should obey his voice to let Israel go? Now I wonder if someone was to ask you the question, who is the Lord? What would you say? How much would you be able to say? How much detail would you be able to go into? How much about God, about his name, about his attributes, his various titles, about his love, his character, how much do you truly know? You know, within our church in the past, and one of the first series that I did in the prayer meeting was the prayer of Hannah in 1 Samuel chapter 2. And we went through that prayer verse by verse, and we considered even through it the various attributes of God as we sought to learn more about God. And of course, whilst we went through it and we looked at the attributes, we looked at the character, it is of course true that we will never know everything about God. There is an incomprehensibility with God. There are certain things about God that we will never know. There is a name that is given to the Lord that we will never know. There is the mind of God, and we know certain things, yes, but we do not know all of the will and all of the mind of God. But nevertheless, there ought to be ever within us a desire to know as much about God as we possibly can. That we apply the mindset and indeed the heart of Paul when he said in Philippians 3 in the verse 10 that I may know him. We think of Paul and how much he knew and his understanding of God and that even visitation of the Lord to him in the desert of Arabia. And yet he still cried and he still longed to know even more about his God. And what is wonderful that whilst it is impossible to know everything about God, yet it is possible to know some things about the Lord. And in order for that to happen, it is the Lord who must reveal himself to us. You know, Mount Sinai in Scripture is also known as Mount Horeb. It's first of all introduced to us in Exodus 3 and 1 as being the mountain of God. It was located in the Sinai desert. And 3 months have now passed since the Israelites have left the land of Egypt. 3 very busy months, as we looked at the last time when we were upon Mount Rephidim. 3 months in which they had made their first journey, they had crossed the Red Sea. They'd entered into the wilderness. I believe they were also then in the wilderness in those first couple of months, were trained in battle, trained in the use of arms and in weaponry. And then as we considered the last time at Rephidim, there was that battle to face against the Amalekites. And that great victory was accomplished even by the intercession of Moses upon Mount Rephidim and by Joshua leading the people in the battle. You know, at a time whenever there was certainly much happening. And so as we read this evening, they move in Exodus 19 verse 1, in the 3rd month they move and they come into the wilderness of Sinai. They leave Rephidim behind. And it's here at Sinai or the Mount Horeb, whichever way you seek to describe it and call it, the Lord will reveal himself to them. You know, the time at Sinai will cover not just one chapter or indeed 2 chapters. It will cover the majority of the book of Exodus. From Exodus 19 into verse 1, it will go through right throughout the rest of the book of Exodus. And indeed, we will still be in it when we come to Numbers 10 and the verses 11 and 12. It was a total of almost 11 months which would be spent here at Sinai. Of course, during those 11 months, not only was the obtaining of the Ten Commandments, but there was the sin of idolatry which had to be addressed and dealt with. Whenever Moses was up in the mountain and Aaron made that golden calf to worship, Moses had to come down and deal with the people. But tonight in particular, I just want to begin, as it were, our time at Sinai. And over this week, and God willing, the next week, we will simply look at two or three various things which are revealed to the people. Three wonderful things which are revealed to the people there at Sinai. And the first one I want you to see tonight, and we're only going to look at the one tonight, it is the display of God's glory. It is the display of God's glory. As I said, this is a revelation experience. This was a time whenever God revealed himself to the people. And the first thing that he revealed to them was his glory. If you read with me again the verse 16 and the verse 18. The verse 16, it tells us, it came to pass on the third day in the morning that there were thunders and lightnings and a thick cloud upon the mount and the voice of a trumpet exceeding loud, so that all the people that was in the camp trembled. In the verse 18 it says, Mount Sinai was altogether on a smoke, because the Lord descended upon it in fire, and the smoke thereof ascended as the smoke of a furnace, and the whole mount quaked greatly. My, what an awesome sight the Israelites beheld at Sinai. Of course, when we mention Sinai, even from the youngest up, as they come up through the Sabbath school and the children's work, they will hear about Mount Sinai and they will think immediately of the Ten Commandments. Those two tables of stone which were given to Moses to give to the Israelites. Those two tables in which the moral law was summarily comprehended. But before they ever received that spoken law, and that law indeed in written form, before they ever had those tablets and those tables presented to them, they firstly were to receive the lawgiver. You see, that's important, to be introduced to the lawgiver before you're introduced to the law. And God came down. And God came down upon Mount Sinai in mighty power. And I want you to see when God came down and he showed forth his glory, because he showed it in a number of different aspects, in a number of different ways. He firstly showed forth his glory by his presence. Tells us in those verses that there were thunders, there were lightnings, there was thick cloud, there was fire, there was smoke, and there was indeed an earthquake. All of these various aspects pointed to a supernatural presence. All of these aspects, all of these elements which were there at Sinai, pointed to something greater than just mere man. This was supernatural activity. This was the working of God and indeed his presence. And that presence, even through those elements, pointed to who God was. For through all of that majesty and indeed all of that might, God firstly showed forth his holiness and his justice. Indeed, all of those elements that we've mentioned, the thunders, the lightnings, the earthquakings, the fire, the smoke, so often they, in Scripture, they speak to us of God's judgment. And of course, God's justice, his judgment, is based upon his holiness. And his holiness is seen for all, even there within the boundaries and within the voice of Moses at Mount Sinai. The declaration is given, the commands are given to the people, that yes, God is coming down in the third morning. But before the people can ever come to the Lord, firstly, the verse 10, they were to sanctify themselves. Moses was sent by the Lord, go unto the people, sanctify them today and tomorrow, wash their clothes. And then the verse 12, the command is also given to set a boundary, that no one will pass by it, that no one will come and touch the border of it. There is a holiness to the Lord. This is even evidenced in these words. No one can come to the Lord. No one can come before the Lord. No one can come near the Lord except there first be a cleansing. except there first be a washing, such as the holiness, such as the purity of God, that we cannot just come as we are. We cannot just come and expect an audience with the Lord in our sinful state. Isn't that the case that is highlighted to us in Psalm 24 in the verse 3? The psalmist, he asks the question, who shall ascend into the hill of the Lord? Who shall stand in his holy place? The answer is given, he that hath clean hands and a pure heart, who have not lifted up his soul unto vanity nor sworn deceitfully. You know, such is the Lord's perfection, that none of us, no one has the ability or the acceptance to come before him based upon our own strengths, our own merits. The Lord will not have his glory or his holiness tainted in any way. That's why the gospel of Jesus Christ is so vital. Christ died for our sins. He took our sins upon his body. He was enveloped in our sins. He took all of that guilt upon himself, and he suffered, he sacrificed himself upon that cross. He underwent all of the punishment of God. All of that smoke, as it were, all of the thunderings, the lightnings, all of the fire of God came down upon his own Son, Jesus Christ, to punish him for our sins, that then we might draw nigh to the Lord. Ephesians 2, the verse 13, it says, ye who sometimes were far off are made nigh by the blood of Christ. You see, Moses here, he was told to wash the people, to sanctify them, to allow them to wash their clothes. For us to draw nigh to the Lord, there must be a washing. A washing in the precious blood of Jesus. A cleansing in that precious blood. A purging in it. That we're purged and we're made white. And we're clothed. Our own righteousness is our own clothes, as it were, our filthy rags. And so we're clothed in the Christ garments. We're clothed in his righteousness. And then, and only then, can we draw nigh. You know, the closer that we come to the Lord, the more we will know. And indeed, the more that we will see of God's glory. Whenever the Israelites were in bondage in Israel, or in Egypt, they were there over 400 years. And how little they saw of God's glory. But yet now, whenever they were brought out of Egypt, now that they were being washed and sanctified, now God was coming down to them. You know, his glory was seen in the presence. It was also displayed in his power. The power that he displayed over creation. He sent forth in the morning time. He sent forth the thunders, the lightnings, the cloud. He sent forth the smoke. He sent forth the fire. He sent forth the earthquake. You know, the one who was the creator of all things is the one who created even that morning. He brought forth the thunders and the lightnings. He created them and he controlled them all. And such was a manifestation of his power that the whole mountain shook. Oh my, what a powerful God we serve. We in our finite humanity, we can look at a mountain and we can look at its height, we can look at its width, we can look at its strength, its ruggedness. And we can look at it, we can see its strength, the security that is found even upon a mountaintop. And yet before the Lord, it will shake. Before the power of the Lord, it will quake. Psalm 114, in the verse 4 it says, the mountains skipped like rams, and the little hills like lambs. The verse 7 of Psalm 114, it says, tremble thy earth at the presence of the Lord, at the presence of the God of Jacob. Judges 5, in the verse 5, the mountains melted from before the Lord, even that Sinai from before the Lord God of Israel. Habakkuk 3, the verse 10, it says, the mountains saw thee and trembled. My, what power our God possesses. What authority, what might he has even over all of creation. And the Israelites certainly would have been in no doubt that God was a powerful God. That God, yea, was all powerful. Indeed, even up to that very point, over those months, they had been able and given many opportunities to witness God's power. You think of all of the plagues that came upon Egypt. The thunders, you think of the darkness, you think of the hail, the locusts, the frogs, the blood of the river, and all of the various plagues, all showing forth the power of God. And then when they were released from Egypt, they observed God's power as he split that Red Sea into two great walls. And he held back the waters by his power until every single Israelite was safely across. And then they witnessed as his power unleashed the waters once again as they came down upon the Egyptians. And now, even with all that's happening at Sinai, once again, God is showing forth his power. Let me highlight and just remind you that the power that God had at Sinai and at the Red Sea and in Egypt, God still has that power today. God's power has never decreased or weakened in any way. Yea, we can agree with the words of Jehoshaphat in 2 Chronicles 20, the verse 6, where he says, "Art not thou God in heaven? And rulest not thou over all the kingdoms of the heathen? And in thine hand is there not power and might, so that none is able to withstand thee?" Oh, how true that is. No military force, even the Amalekites, which came in Exodus 17, could stand against the power of the Lord. No mountain range, even the great mountains of Sinai and Horeb, they trembled, they quaked even before the Lord. His glory was seen in his presence. His glory was seen in his power. I want you also to see that his glory is displayed in his proclamation. The verse 19, it says, "When the voice of the trumpet sounded long and waxed louder and louder, Moses spake and God answered him by a voice." You know, Matthew Henry, in his commentary on Exodus 19, he describes this point at Sinai as the proclamation of a great sermon. Sinai is the pulpit. God is the preacher. Moses is the steward to gather the people together. The Israelites are the congregation. The call to worship was the angels blowing the trumpets. My, what glory is seen when it is God who is speaking. Whenever it's the voice of God that man hears, it's not simply the voice of a man, but whenever God himself is speaking. And may I encourage you and exhort, may it never be the case that you go to a church just to hear a man. May it never be the desire in your heart that you're gathering to a church, to a service, or to watch something online just to hear a man speak. May it be the case rather that you're ever coming to hear God speak. That's why we come to the house of the Lord. Yes, we come to worship. We come to praise our Lord. We come to praise our Savior. But we come to hear the Lord speak to us. So when God speaks, his words will bring glory to himself. That's why a preacher prays to be touched with that live coal from off the altar. That he's not simply coming and before a people or a congregation and just bringing his own thoughts, or bringing just a message that, or a sermon that he's put together, and it's sound in terms of homiletically, that he's got his points, he's got his title, and he comes away from it and goes, "Yes, that was a good sermon." Sermons don't help anybody. You need to hear the voice of God. You need to hear that speaking word even to our hearts. You know, Moses, whenever at the end of his life in Deuteronomy, he's speaking to the people, he's gathered them together there at the edge of the River Jordan. And his words that are found in Deuteronomy 4 and 5 are the words that each preacher ought to be able to testify. Because Moses there, he says to the people, "Behold, I have taught you statutes and judgments even as the Lord my God commanded me." In other words, God spoke to Moses, and Moses simply spoke those words then to the people. That ought to be the experience of every preacher. That ought to be the experience of the man that you sit under, that he is bringing forth God's word and only God's word. There was the presence, there was the power, there was the proclamation. And all of those things came together and displayed God's glory and showed forth his majesty. You see what the result was of the display of God's glory? Whenever God revealed himself to the people, whenever God came down and he spoke to them, he showed forth his power. Do you see what the results of that were? First of all, there was a fear of God. Hebrews 12 and verse 21, it says, "So terrible was the sight that Moses himself said, I exceedingly fear and quake." Whenever those people saw the majesty and the power of God, they saw his presence, a great fear came upon them as they realized whose presence they were truly in. And they realized that they didn't deserve to be in that presence. And when they saw the holiness of God being manifested, they realized how unholy they were. You know, man today has a very high opinion of themselves. They see themselves as so intelligent and so good and so wise and so kind. They've puffed themselves up with pride. And yet, my friend, the reality is this. Whenever we assess ourselves and put ourselves up against the Lord, we are so unholy, so unrighteous. We do not even deserve to call ourselves good. For even as the Lord Jesus Christ said, no man is good. That's the reality. There's none righteous, no, not one. The fear of God came down upon the people. There was also then the fervor towards God. The fervor towards God, because Deuteronomy 5 and 24, the people said, and Moses reminds them, "Ye said, behold, the Lord our God hath showed us his glory and his greatness, and we have heard his voice out of the midst of the fire, and we have seen this day that God doth talk with man, and he liveth." My, what an experience that was for the people. Now God showed forth his greatness, his glory. God showed forth even his voice, and he spoke to them. Give them that impression even upon their hearts that they never forgot. And then there was one other thing it resulted in. It resulted especially in Moses, because we of course remember that the Israelites would fail and they would sin with the worship of the golden calf. But Moses here at Mount Sinai, when he's shown God's glory, he spends that time with the Lord and he hears the Lord speaking to him. It produces within Moses such a faithfulness. Exodus 33:18 is wonderful words. Because you think by the time, if you were to read on in the chapters that follow, everything that Moses experiences. And yet Exodus 33, the verse 18, Moses simply says, "I beseech thee, show me thy glory." Now, everything that Moses had experienced up to that point had left him hungry for more. This mountaintop experience, it didn't satisfy Moses. Yes, it was amazing. It was unbelievable. It was beyond words how precious, how special it was. And yet, to be in God's glory and to be in the presence of God's glory left him longing for more. Left him desiring that he would experience it again. And again, and if you're saved, child of God, this is something that we ought to long for in our lives, to experience God's glory, to see it for ourselves, to experience it in our meetings, to experience it in our private times, to experience it in our family lives, that we will taste God and see God's glory time and time again. That we will see the glory of God even descend upon our land, upon our nation. You know, there is coming a time when we will live and be in the presence of God's glory forever. will never be changed, it will never be altered, never be diminished. Revelation 5 and the verse 12 and 13, it says there in that passage, saying with a loud voice, worthy is the Lamb that was slain to receive power and riches, wisdom and strength and honor and glory and blessing, and every creature which is in the earth and on, or in the heaven and on the earth and under the earth, and such as are in the sea and all that are in them, heard I saying, blessing and honor and glory and power be unto him that sitteth upon the throne and unto the Lamb forever and ever. The Lord is in his glory, and the Lord will be in that glory forever and ever. And he's coming back, and he's going to gather his own people unto himself, and we're going to be changed. We're going to be like him, and we're going to live with him forever, and we're going to see his glory forever and forever. But you know, that's to come. And in our lives, even now, let me encourage you to be longing for God's glory, to be longing that God's name will be glorified, that God's person will be glorified, that God's house will be glorified, that God's word will be glorified, that everything, all of God and all of his attributes, his character, his titles will be uplifted and will be gloried in. The cross will be gloried in. Oh, that we will even experience the glory of God, and God will reveal himself to us. We're going to just finish with a word of prayer. I want to thank you once again for joining us this evening. I pray that the Lord will bless you wherever you are, and even encourage you, give you a hunger within your heart, even to experience God's glory and to see him even high and lifted up. Let's have a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, we thank thee, O God, for thy mercy. We thank thee even for stooping down and stooping so low, yea, to lift up someone so sinful as I. Lord, we just pray that thou wilt write thy word upon our hearts, that thou wilt encourage us, that thou wilt be with us, O God, and that thou wilt give us a hunger and a thirst for the things of God, that we will seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, that we will not simply look at ourselves, but rather that we will have the desire in the prayer of John, that he must increase, and yea, I must decrease. God bless us this night. Be with us, we pray, in Jesus' name. Amen.